Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland. From its rich history to the hidden gems, there's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach-churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining us tonight, we've got our honorary CEO, Flary. Mvanta Trading's Baba Yaga is back after ditching us last week to watch some football. Is this the first time we've had you guys together since the hurricane?
It's been a while.
Has it been that long?
Baba left me with all the econ nerds last week.
I was starting to feel bad for you.
I was listening in and I was texting Flary like, what are y'all doing right now, bro?
I mean, you kind of left me in a, you know, I didn't know what else to do.
I know it's my fault.
It's hard to fill your...
I actually find it pretty fascinating. I just have nothing to add. So
I know that's kind of, yeah.
It was fun to be on and laugh with you guys, but,
I don't know. I thought at the end when we started talking about the economics, like the actual, like what small business owner, like your contributions to that, I thought was pretty good. But anyway, how did everything go for you guys last week? Anything to report in on?
Like as in like the week that just happened?
Yeah.
Wow. I got rug pulled.
I was going to say, can we start with the good first?
Oh, you want to start with the good?
Yeah. Anything good happened this week? Let's start with that.
Yeah, you know, above ground, out of prison, that kind of thing. I got these new glasses. I've been wearing them. I sent a pair to Baba because he said his eyes have been bothering him. He's been wearing them as well.
It really does look like the exact same pair.
They might be. I sent them to him.
Yeah. I mean, can we not send things back and forth as friends?
Yeah. Did you get the bourbon I sent you?
Actually, yes.
Knob Creek?
Yeah, 10-year.
Oh, there you go. Cheers.
All right. Well, if you guys don't want to promote anything, then I'll do it then.
There we go. See? Assholes. Yeah. All right. I can't wear these.
Flary, thank you, man, for last night. We just finished recording, what do we call that? The Gelber breakout competition breakdown with you and the three of the other participants.
Yeah.
That was a fascinating one. That should be coming out on Thursday. And then I don't know. I think it was a fun time in Vonta this week. We missed you on Friday, Baba, but I think we held down the fort all right, me and Banks. We didn't get the 800-point straight-up move that apparently you guys were dealing with earlier in the week.
Sorry. I didn't know. I mean, all I need to do is click the green button.
I mean, the Trump trade came in pretty hard. It was just, I think, you know, if he won, which he clearly did, the question was the trade priced in or was it not? It was pretty obvious from the open and the overnight session.
Yeah, I was kind of regretting not joining in when Purdue was on there trading it. He launched his own little hosting his own event in the Discord there.
I saw them.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to follow back up on that. Sounds like they did really well. I mean, as long as you weren't shorting, you probably right. did pretty well.
There was one short to be had.
When like California numbers were coming in, like first numbers from California, Wisconsin early numbers, like the middle swing state kind of stuff, there was that pullback. But I mean, that was it, and that was the only pullback that really like broke that huge channel that they made all night.
Yeah,
and it dipped below it for a minute, and that was it.
It was right at midnight.
They gave you like one out. Yeah. No, yeah. But yeah, that was a great trade. And then the next morning, they literally, I remember we were on voice, and I was like, it's just, I think you just buy like 5 seconds before the open, you just buy and see what happens.
Better words were not spoken.
the week itself. So I don't know what you did or if you did, but I stayed up all night, election night, traded the whole night. Slept for about an hour and a half and then traded the next day till whenever.
So. Yeah, I didn't go that hardcore. I was just happy I wasn't like blowing accounts this year, this election.
I reached out a couple times, check in, make sure we didn't have any election repeats.
Yeah.
No, I was actually, I took the entire week off for the most part. I think Friday was the only day I traded this week. For exactly that reason, when volatility starts getting nuts like that, I tend to do stupid shit.
I really enjoyed it.
There you go. I don't know. I don't know how that segued into like trading the election and whatever, but I think you were talking about good stuff this week, and then we all got rug pulled in FTT. And,
yeah, this week actually, if you want to know the truth, this week would have been probably one of my bigger weeks.
Would have.
Period. Yeah.
If they didn't rug pull you over there.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, not the biggest, I would say, but definitely top five, especially with the size I was trading. That's the thing I was most proud of, is I was just trading small size and able to just, you know, do decently well. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it sucked. I mean, we can get into it more, but I think that sucked. And then, I think I lost the Gelber contest by 2 ticks in ES, which
I saw the screenshots of that. That one hurts.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. I got stopped out by 2 ticks, and then the market rallied what would have been the equivalent of a trade large enough to win the contest in $20,000. Yeah, so that was fun. So it was an interesting week as far as like, really, sometimes,
Well, let's kind of test that thing. Let's talk about FTT then, if you guys don't mind. Like, what's your guys' plans now? Like, does this make you more leery about trading with prop accounts? Are you looking for the next one to try to move towards, or are you guys going to try to stay away from them?
I would say, I mean, always leery. Some idiot on Twitter was like tagging me on something, like trying to say I was whatever. Dude, it's do your own research. This stuff is a trade. There's risk in every trade, and it is what it is. Like, it sucks that some people didn't get money out ever, but at the end of the day, whether they rug pulled and took the money, whatever they did, like, that trade was a layup if you were early and these guys didn't scam you. And it sucks that they did, but like, it was still a trade. Every trade has risk. Obviously, you know, only risk what you're willing to lose. And, you know, I wish I would have gotten more out of the trade because I had more, you know, in it. And I was one of the fortunate ones that was able to get it out, but I don't think, I mean, is it a stain on the industry? Yeah. But this idea of, you know, straight to funded or even like multiple evals with like 20 accounts and stuff like that. I think people are starting to come around to how big of an opportunity that much leverage in copy trading is and how small you need to trade across a bunch of accounts in order to generate a pretty large amount of income. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know if that's net good for the space. It probably isn't over the long run of it, but I still think there's plenty of opportunity out there and there's plenty of like, you know, well-foundationed firms out there, you know, your Top Steps of the world that let you do 5 accounts, which, I mean, dude, make $300 a day on 5 accounts. It's a lot of money. Trust me. you know, so again, I don't, I think it probably sours people. I think, you know, short term, it probably will be a bunch of discounts and deals, you know, coming in the next, you know, week or two. There's a lot of bad information coming out about how profitable that company actually was, whether or not that information is accurate. You know, there's a Discord that's got a lot of the financials and stuff like that. Like, I think the biggest sad piece of this is the idea was really good. It was it was edgy, and like it pushed the, you know, the whatever you want to call it, the greater market of prop firm spaces to this like sim to funded or straight to funded, whatever. Like if the financials were what were posted in this Discord, like these guys actually were making money. Now, I think they probably had more liability in people's accounts of payouts to come. Like, you know, I had 50,000 and P&L to back that up. I mean, I know there was traders with like hundreds of thousands. You know, I know traders that had one account that had $50,000 profit in it. So I don't know that they had the runway to pay necessarily the balances that were in people's accounts, but those were limited to $3,000 or $4,000 every 10 days. And
that's another good point that you kind of bring up there, kind of touching around, like, do you leave a lot of money in those accounts, or are you taking it out like as soon as you can?
No, take I never. Something so, out? So one of my things, again, you know, again, do your own research of this whole deal, is like there was a significant amount of risk. So I didn't see the benefit. I put this post in Theta Warriors Discord about risk premium. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a firm believer in it. It's a poker theory that like, once there's ICM, which is like payout pressure, right, in a poker tournament, once there's payout pressure in a sim account or these prop firms, like once I make enough money to get to the payout, every trade I take above that is actually there's a premium that you pay, because not only are you risking the payout, but you're risking the entire account. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay, I could continue to trade and grow this account more, but there's, let's say you're a 40% win rate trader on a 2-to-1. So you have like 7% edge or something like that, right? Well, if you're taking a trade above the payout, you're giving risk premium back. So your 7% edge maybe gets cut down to like close to break even. And, you know, again, so you have to find even better trades. You have to be even sharper. And so given that concept of risk premium, I never really took the accounts above the payout level. I would stop trading them at the time. You know, it was okay to flip the accounts and just trade like a $16 day or something like that. They changed those rules later on. But yeah, I was a firm believer in never trading them above that. So then I would take a payout. It would bring me back down to like, you know, a relatively tough area to try to trade. But I had very small, you know, just 10 days, $300 a day, and, you know, just take another payout, knock it back down, 10 days. You know, so I never really built them up too much. You know, with the rule change that they did, they pushed a bunch of payouts that I had back to, you know, like, oh, you got to go trade 10 new days. Well, they refunded the payouts that I had, put them in my account. Now all of a sudden my accounts had like, you know, $12,000 in them. Mm-hmm. So it was, but the goofy part was that now it was even easier and less, you know, there was less risk premium on them because I had so much money. So before you know, I had $4,500 to make $7,500. Well, now I have $10,000, $12,000 to make, you know, $13,500 or whatever it was. Right. It was kind of silly, but yeah, again, I don't think it sours the space too bad, and I don't think it sours me on it. It's still the same trade. There's still the same risk. And if you want less risk from, you know, the rug pull that we experienced, then go trade with a company that has, you know, less accounts that you can buy and probably a shittier platform or, you know, whatever, different rules and things like that. And again, like there's plenty of opportunities out there for it. I think the cool piece was that these guys pushed it to a level that nobody had seen before. And in my opinion, made it so easy that a lot of really good traders went to them and probably just, you know, ran up tabs on them, that to the point where, you know, whether they chose to do this from the beginning and it was a scam the whole time, maybe we'll still come out, or if they just like got greedy and saw how much money was coming in. But I mean, $57 million, man. As much as people talked shit about like, oh, watch out for these guys, or don't go buy a bunch of accounts and blah, blah, blah. $57 million worth of accounts were still purchased. Now, on a discount, I think it was like $30 million or something like that. But like, bro, don't tell me that like all the naysayers and all the people that were like questioning it didn't go buy one, right? yeah, they might not have bought 20, but I know a lot of people that were just like putting feelers out there and just bought one and just, you know, see if they can get a $3,000 payout. So again, I think more of that will continue. You'll see more deals. You'll see more straight to funded, and you'll see people do it in a way that, you know, they're moving people to live so that they don't run up these insane tabs, or, you know, even getting smart and leveraging out like a booking some of these people. Like they were just banking that some of these people would blow these accounts, and people just didn't, I don't think. Or at least not at the volume they thought they would. But
I think you hit the key there when you said the 20 accounts. I think that's going to be the thing that becomes less of a thing.
Well, and that was the draw. Like, I mean, maybe you don't need 20, but like even 10 accounts, it really compounds to like a level that's pretty wild, man. Like, you can trade a 3-lot micro. Ask me how I know. You can trade a 3-lot micro on 12 accounts, 10 to 12 accounts, and make $100,000 a month. Like it's an opportunity. Now, that opportunity came with risk. We realized that risk in this trade. Again, a handful of people were fortunate enough to actually come out of the trade positive. A lot of people probably weren't, or at least were, you know, left some of their profits on the table. But I don't think the trade is dead. I just think, you know,
it's, well, FTT is dead.
Well, yeah, FTT is dead, but I just think, you know, in general, the idea of trading multiple accounts in this straight to funded or even eval system is, it's still a thing. The space isn't going anywhere anytime soon, I don't think.
What do you think, Baba?
Man. Well, I mean, I agree with a lot of the sentiment. I think anytime, so it definitely is like a trade. For sure. And we've talked about that ad nauseum, that it's really a way to buy. It's a leverage, right? It's a way to have access to deeper liquid capital. It's better margin rates, whatever. Like, you can get with a conversation with a risk manager, 10% margins at, you know, say like, well, I don't want to say, but at major respectable, reputable brokers. Okay.
Okay.
So, but you're going to have, you know, say to trade a micro, you're going to have available to you probably, for FTT's example, the price of an account with them would buy you about $250 of room if you're trading a cash account. So say you spent $500 on a FTT account. If you put $500 in a brokerage account, you're going to get, if you make an exemption with the risk manager, you'll get 10% margins. It'll be like $245 a micro. So you'll have to have $245 for day trade margin. So you have basically $250, $260 that you could lose before you're liquidated, or you have to send them more money. Whereas with FTT or really any of the other firms, you put $500 towards an account that buys you $3,000 worth of margin. So really, the, like, I think where most everybody kind of misses the higher order Greeks in this whole puzzle is the time aspect. As long as you are long theta in these accounts, theoretically, right? You're not trying to be in a hurry. As long as you're taking advantage of the time aspect, the ability to compound and the risk profile for what you're able to buy, it was unbelievable.
That's what I liked about FTT, was not having the time constraints on it, not having that.
Yeah, but I mean, even the other ones is 30 days, right? So like, even on an account for $50K that you need to make, whatever, it's 30 days before you rebill. Like, we should be able to probably make, you know, $3,000 in 30 days pretty responsibly with one micro. If that was the route you were, if to stick with the analogy, right?
Like, yeah. Well, but the point days, is, man, it takes a while. But, I mean, I've done slow and grow.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's the play, but then if you have five accounts, 10 accounts, 15 accounts, and if you're slightly aggressive, you know, the $300 to $500 chip shot a day in those micros is doable. And then you multiply that by five, you have an election night where you make, you know, $1,000 or something. That's five G's in a day. Like, that starts to add up.
That's what actually put the nail in their coffin?
No,
like too
no,
many people
I don't,
do
no,
too
I
well
don't.
In that, or
no.
is it going down?
No,
before
they
that?
Were there was they were in a bind way before that, and so
there's been a lot of smoke. Yeah,
I think the point I don't really want to talk so much. I mean, yeah, Flair covered all the points. I mean, that's the bottom line. My whole thing was just the what you can buy with the dollar at a brokerage account versus if you have the capacity to pass an account, you get more bang for your buck in one sense. There's more hoops to jump through, but at the end of the day, that's the deal. Now, where you're not going to have an issue is I can transfer money out of my brokerage account today and tomorrow and send some back the next day and pull some more out, and no one's going to tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if anything, yeah, they're going to call and check, like have a conversation just to be nice. You know,
doing all right.
Yeah. There's never an issue there. So what I will say is like FTT going boom, like cost me time more than anything else.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. The theta part of it.
That's really the kicker, man.
It's like, probably the most discouraging, you know,
because you also like, I didn't trade much of anything else for the last, after the hurricane. So we came back from the hurricane, things settled out, traded, rule change. Then I was like, okay, I'm kind of out for blood, like, because I had days that didn't count. So I was like, well, I'm gonna focus on this solely, and I'm gonna take full advantage of the trade they're offering. And though I'd lost, you know, the last 2.5 weeks or something, because you're not going to get that money. Even though it's in there, I can't get it. It's not coming to me. Obviously now it's not.
It's like we were talking earlier. It's not real till it hits your account.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, well, and I wasn't running up some huge tab like balance, but I was doing, you know, just grinding it out. Anyways, I think for me, it's just, it has frustrated me maybe a little more than it should, or maybe my perspective on the prop space is tainted a little bit just because it's really, really annoying and it's inconvenient. And I have I come back from 3 weeks of not doing anything, dealing with hurricane stuff, and then basically lose the last 2 weeks or whatever, 2.5 weeks or however long it was. And, you know, it's just, that's frustrating. So I am, I'm probably taking a break from anything prop related for the foreseeable and just clutching back into cash account land, and maybe employing some of the same tactics that I employed or deployed in that arena, because there were some benefits. And if we want to talk about the positives,
the midterm
trade with just not even chunky size, like the midterm rotation on, you know, a handful of micros twice a day. Really is like, it's so easy, very stress free. Yeah, I'm going to trade other accounts to do like the fun runner stuff and all of that. But like, I think I was surprised and am surprised at how much you can stock up, like stockpile in a short amount of time, almost charging to a finish line every day. You said something to me when we were talking about these accounts and the trades. And you were like, you said something like, yeah, man, just add early and be willing to admit it when you're wrong or something like that. I can't remember what. And I started looking back at like trades I'd taken and whatever. And I was just trying to minimize a little bit my even exposure in a trade, you know, and peel everything off. Yeah, leave a runner for like the next, whatever the next stretch target is. But so even like some of the strategy in that, like, okay, you get one. Win one trade, you're sitting on a chunk, take another trade, you can be a little more aggressive with that. As long as you have the self-control to admit when you're wrong and you have a reasonable stop, that trade's not going to bother you. And it just kind of, I don't know, she kind of freed me up a little bit in some kind of way. That was the positive that came from it. I felt like super freed up to just like bang it out every day, high five myself and go do something else.
Did I tell you? It felt good trading the cash account today, just knowing that whatever I made today, I know is mine. Nobody's taking that away.
I did that the last 2 days. But it, like, we had a big conversation with some of the guys about it today, or even yesterday, like the day after the election or whatever. you have to be so right, because the difference is, and you kind of mentioned this, Baba, with the margin piece, is like, yeah, you come out and you put on a trade that's going to make you relatively, like, you know, the same ish amount of money. If you're wrong and you lose, you know, 5-10% of your account, like, you only get so many of those before now you have to size down. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the benefit of, and it continues to be the benefit of this prop firm space, is that, you know, you're wrong, you don't have to size down necessarily. You have this, like, you know, arbitrary, like, drawdown stop. And if you hit it, you just buy new accounts or whatever. In your cash account, like, you have to make adjustments for all your actual account balance. Like, it's reality. And yeah, it comes with the benefit of being able to pull out accounts and all that good stuff. And I get it. But, you know, again, it's a different trade unless you have $250,000, $1 million in your live account, where, like, these things don't matter. Which is kind of what we talked about yesterday in the podcast with the Gelber piece, is like, there was an infinite bankroll. You never had to ask the question, like, if I screw this trade up, am I going to trade the open tomorrow? And in your cash account, you know, like, when you don't have a firm backing you up, like, it's not only am I, like, there's two traders. There's ones that trade the open tomorrow and there's one that don't. And there's also, like, in between of, like, well, shit, I you know, lost my ass yesterday, and now, you know, I was a 5 lot trader and now I'm a 4. And then you're carrying that loss and the sizing down and the emotions into the next day. And if you lose again, you know, maybe you're a 3 lot trader. And yeah, that's maybe an extreme version of it, but, like, it happens over time, and it becomes infinitely harder to make it back. And, you know, there's this, like, you know, we talked about theta, like, there's this, like, very, like, pure slow grind that you're actually supposed to take in a live account. And you get to skip that with this prop firm space, and you get to compound again with this leverage piece. So, but I couldn't agree with Baba more on the positive of it. Like, whether it was the 20% consistency, whether it was just, like, realizing how good of an opportunity it was had they not rug pulled, especially in the beginning when they were paying people, which is when I promoted it, by the way. So fuck off, people. And I didn't even promote it. I said, do your own research.
No, we didn't. Yes.
But, like, the trade was so good. It was almost like I found myself in this spot of just, like, pure focus of, like, dude, this is a huge fucking opportunity. Like, it just, don't be a jackass here. Grind out, like, start in a 2 lot micro. If the thing goes in your favor, add to 3. If it goes in your favor, add to 5. Cut the trade at, like, your daily profit gap, right? Which, like, for me and the GTs was, like, $300 to $600. You know, maybe you let a piece run with a stop at, like, 350 or, like, maybe minus 50 bucks. And if it goes, it goes, and you stop out. Like, I put in 2 months of no red days. I made, like, probably about 160 something thousand, if not more, $180,000 on, like, 3 to 5 micros across, now minus, you know, given across, like, 12 accounts. But that was some of the best trading that I've done, like, consistency wise. And again, was it the opportunity? Was it the hyper focus because I knew the opportunity was so good? Was it the consistency rule? And, like, just really, I've always been a good enough guy. Like, I take my piece and go do other things throughout the day and don't, like, try not to sit at the desk. But, man, this, like, really showed, you know, a little bit of, like, what you can do looking for good A-plus setups and just, like, getting in, getting out, and moving on. And, you know, again, like, taking your piece, like, restarting and like, I mean, I reset those accounts 6 times throughout this whole thing. Yeah, again, like, I think, you know, the good takeaway is, like, it was very eye opening. I mean, had they continued paying people and, you know, it went on for another year and that run went on for another year. I mean, I put on a 7-figure trader run in there. I just didn't get to finish it. You know, and again, like, yeah,
Do you still have runners open?
No, they actually closed them. I was watching. It was funny. I was, like, watching my accounts, like, get deleted as the Discord was getting deleted. And then I finally just hit disconnect and reconnect and it was gone.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
But yeah, I went long. So I had 13 accounts because they gave me, like, a free one because they canceled my payouts or whatever.
Because that makes it better.
Yeah, I know, right? I had a 50 lot micro running, literally, like, bought, like, through all time high kind of thing. I had a 50 lot micro running that just went up, like, huge. I think across all the accounts, I was up, like, $80,000 as they were, like, just deleting the Discord. But I mean, and again, like maybe a last minute trade, like if they come through and they're like, all right, everyone gets a percentage based on their account balance because government doesn't know how to actually divvy the money up or something like that. Like, hey, at least maybe when they closed everything and they looked at it, they're like, damn, this guy had like, you know, $350,000 in his account. Right. Like, let's go. So yeah, I YOLO'd and it never, of course, like the one trade I go long 50 lot micro, it like never pulled back to my entry. It just like kept going across the 12 accounts. So it was pretty funny.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, but it was painful, man. It was kind of funny watching it happen in a weird, odd way. Like, I've never really been a part of anything like that or been scammed or whatever you want to call it. So it was like very surreal in the moment, like watching the Discord get deleted and like the moment, like when you just saw it, just like the dam broke. Yeah. And it was really, really surreal. And then when the announcement kind of came and like I hit disconnect and reconnected and all my accounts were gone, you know, and I realized like, man, I'm never getting these payouts. And, you know, I mean, it's north of $50,000. Like, it was like, it kind of set in, it sucks, you know, but there's lots of people who never even got to pay out one and they, you know, had a pure loss. So I'm fortunate in the way, Baba, like I'm fortunate in the way that like, I didn't have a pure loss, but like it, you know, I got scammed, man. It wasn't nearly like, what you guys sucked. Had. Yeah, it sucked. So yeah, I don't know. Interesting, but I don't think it scares me from the trade. Like, it the same way it shouldn't scare you from, you know, seeing, you know, another trade in the market. Like,
all it really does is emphasize the point that it's not yours until it hits your account.
Manage your risk. Don't you know, bet more than you can afford to lose. And I mean, dude, I was betting on other people too. Like, it was such a good trade. I was encouraging, you know, people to just get in there and try to get it because it was, you know, a relatively good trade, whether or not there was, you know, the potential for all this, which there was the whole time. Let's be clear about that, too. Like, there was very much red flags with FTT the entire time. But, you know, all the way up until like when payouts and the live thing started happening, it was like, right, like whatever. But yeah,
they were always paying up until recently.
Yeah, I think the stuff that like will potentially come out watching some of this is like maybe some of those payouts weren't even real. Like how many people actually were getting paid? Like, was it just like that first like month to month and a half that was like legit? And I mean, they were clearly paying like the influencers priority so that they would continue to influence. But yeah, who knows? Like, was there shill or shell rise accounts? Like, were they just paying themselves and washing the money so it looked like they were like in the leaderboard on that, you know, tracking site and stuff like that? Like, yeah, I mean, it's possible it was like severely more nefarious than you even know now. But, you know, I mean, to some extent, like respect the hustle a little bit. Like, if somebody sat down with a napkin and hatched this plan, boy, they really did a good job. I mean, fucking $30 million in sales is insane in that amount of time. Like, and I think it just is a testament to how good of an opportunity it was, whether or not it was real or how real it was and for how long it was real. It was alluring enough that and shiny enough that enough people got in there and did it. And I think everybody probably knew, especially in this, like these circles run pretty tight. Like everybody probably knew somebody that got like a pretty significant payout, right? Like I think, especially like listeners of this podcast, like people that like trade in Discords, like I'd be willing to bet everybody knew somebody that got like either their first five figure prop firm payout or like big
their
five
first
firm
payout.
Yeah, like they're like, dude, that was something I put in my original tweet. Like I knew a lot of people that had never gotten a payout ever that got their first payout in the very beginning. And you know, I mean, again, like that, if whether that was like by design or not, like, again, like a little bit of like nice, good GGs, like good game, but,
just goes to show we need to be early in this game.
Dude, I mean, we said that, like I said, like the, you know, the key to a good Ponzi is being early, but yeah, man, I don't know. Overall sucked, shitty week to lose a bunch of money to a rug pull and, you know, again, more fortunate than some, so.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Do you guys want to have a fun topic that we kind of missed out on?
Yeah, what do you
with
got?
The hurricane?
Sure.
Well, we missed our 1 year anniversary of the podcast. I got the domain renewal thing like the beginning of October, but the hurricane was going on, so we never got a chance to really mention it.
Happy birthday.
One whole year, man. Happy birthday to us.
Band of Traders.
All right. Kind of surreal, huh?
That's pretty cool. How many episodes in that year? Do you know?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Probably. I have no idea. I have to go back and count.
100?
Do you track them by episodes? How does that work on the...
No, I mean, I just know that I put out two a week. Okay. That's kind of the schedule. And then whether or not I actually have the content for that week because of the stuff that we've been doing in the summer. Missed a few here and there, but I don't think we missed too much. We're actually really close to hitting 100,000 downloads.
That's crazy.
With any luck, we should cross that by the end of this month.
How was the growth over the year?
Pretty good. I was just looking at it with Banks and sending him some numbers. I mean, for like the average views per episode, I think is almost doubled.
Really?
Since we started that. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And that was actually kind of a neat milestone. We hit a few months ago. I think I mentioned it. Like we got back to the same monthly numbers we were doing before the change and everything, which was a big deal because we actually dropped a third episode. So we, with two episodes, made up what we were doing with three before. And that was kind of a huge, huge hit.
Consistency, so, yeah, man. Consistency.
Right? Mm-hmm. So things have been growing and got a lot of fun stuff planned for next year. I think this presidential podcast that we're doing with Eric Mason is going to be a lot of fun.
Congratulations. You need
thank you guys for a
straight to funded, what do you call them? With somebody that pays you.
Well, Purdue was talking about starting his own prop firm. He said it only costs $25,000 to launch our own. That's how much it costs to get the licenses.
Bro, I'm telling you, here's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys trade on BitMEX back in the day?
Come on, dude. When you could. That's when I made my first, five-figure trade.
100X, like, yeah, 100X, you know, margins, whatever. But, so BitMEX at the time, back in the day, was only perp swap. So what that meant is, like, everybody, like, they have their own exchange, their own market. So, yeah, it's based on an arbitrage of prices or a blend of prices. I think the algorithm at the time was, like, three different exchanges, and that's what set their spot price or their liquidation price and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the only way I could go long is if another member of that exchange wanted to go short. So It was always a one for one. And, you know, so that idea of a perp swap is kind of interesting in the prop space, I think. Like, how do we get all of these people that clearly like this idea to get onto an exchange where you can just cash out, right? Like, so you get the benefit of the leverage that the prop space has, but like you're not actually engaging in the sim environment where you're requiring losers to pay for winners. It's purely a perp swap of like, I thought it was a long, you thought it was a short, and you gave up some amount of your account's leverage or equity or margin or whatever the fuck you would do. I don't know. Somebody smarter than me.
You're just saying like create your own environment that everybody participates in amongst each other, but not necessarily with the rest of the market?
Yeah, yeah, but it uses NQ as a price, like the same way BitMEX does. I mean, how did they get, you know, I didn't have 100x my account, and they let me trade like, you know, 50 Bitcoins, and I, you know, I had 0.4 Bitcoin or something, you know. Ask me how I know. Like it literally, and that's how it worked, you know, like there had to be enough people, you know, and you get liquidated, right? Like I can bet like 5,000 if I only have 50 bucks, but I only get 1% drawdown or whatever before they liquidate it and take my money. You know, a prop firm space like with something similar to that, where you can, you know, bet a few hundred dollars, but win several thousand and like maybe build up that account. And then the next day, you know, whatever. And yeah, I don't know, something like that would be interesting, where it was like a pure like prop exchange. Right. In a way, or even like getting them all to come together. And so of course nobody's going to do that because they're all making millions or whatever. But like, I think it would be an interesting idea where you could purely just like swap that margin or liquidity with each other.
It's almost like, it's almost like you're playing poker, but using NQ instead of having a deck of cards. Like you're just going to sit with a bunch of other traders and you're all going to battle wits.
Yeah, and you don't have to, like, let's just say you buy, you know, I mean, shit, these FTT accounts, people were spending $3,000-$4,000 on them, you know, to have 12 accounts. Well, instead of having 12 accounts, you just have, you know, $3,000 worth of, you know, whatever, Band of Traders coin that you can use to, you know, you don't have to use 100x leverage. You could use, you know, 1x leverage, and you're just like, every dollar it goes up, you make a dollar, and there's somebody on the other side of your trade. You can't get out unless somebody is willing to take the other side. You can't get in unless somebody's willing to take the other side. And at the end of the day, the whole thing just washes and the exchange takes their small cut and they're all happy, like fees and all that stuff. But everybody gets to just like, hey, I made $5,000 today. Shit's mine. Put it in, you know, transfer it out in Bitcoin or Sol or Pepe coin or whatever the fuck.
Let's make a business plan, give it to Purdue.
Yeah, you just need numbers. Yeah. Like the only way to make that work is you'd have to have enough liquidity in your exchange to actually have somebody on the other side of the trade often enough.
Or you need somebody there to play market maker.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
Another thing. Yeah, you could play market maker too.
Back in the crypto days, we, I think this is probably statute of limitations or it wasn't illegal. I don't know. But there was a project. No, it
definitely wasn't illegal in crypto.
There was a project where we worked on where, like, when you took a project, when you took a small project to exchange, you had to provide, like, you had to provide the liquidity. Like, because the exchange we were working with, they weren't going to buy your, you know, your coin and then provide liquidity. So we had an account. So I actually, technically, I guess, have been the liquidity engine of an exchange before. I built the order book for the entire exchange, like the denominations of what was available to be purchased or sold up the ladder both ways, and then what we were willing to buy the other direction, the whole thing, you know, I mean, all the way out. And then you had to constantly reshuffle. It wasn't a lot of volume going on, so it wasn't that difficult to reshuffle. But once it got started, like once it got moving, then the liquidity was provided by the users. That's what was really cool. You could, like, from the back end, you could watch. You couldn't see where stops were, but you could see where people had were putting their contracts, similar to when you're watching the book on NQ or whatever, or ES. So it was really, it was an eye-opening experience. Man,
why don't we have Avanta coin yet?
I don't know. I used to know how to do a lot of that stuff, but dude, there's no way I could remember how to build anything anymore. I haven't coded anything. I mean, I can't even do ChatGPT hardly, so.
Well, ChatGPT should know how to do it. Maybe we'll just ask it.
I'm sure it could.
Yeah, well, what do you guys think? You want to do some good, bad, and ugly?
Sure. I mean, that's pretty premature, but.
Yeah, we're about 42 minutes in. This usually takes about 20 minutes.
Run it.
I feel like the whole first part of the show is good, bad, and ugly.
I know, right? Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I've got good, bad, and ugly.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Hit it. You want me to go? You want me to run it?
No.
Run.
No, I want you to tease it, and then we'll just talk about it tomorrow.
Teasing. All right, check it out. So, the bad's obviously that I was a part of that situation we just talked about earlier. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Waste of time and all that good stuff. The ugly is it's a cloaked good, but the ugly is that we have started the process of getting some pricing together and bids and things together to fix the downstairs, which is going to be great. We're able to do some stuff down there that we wanted to do before. We're going to move a couple of walls around, so that's cool. The downside is Allstate, I'll say it, they're still really jerking me around. So that looks to be a holistically unfruitful endeavor to have insurance during a storm like that.
Is FEMA providing any assistance for you guys out there?
Technically, yes, but it would, I mean, it's minimal in comparison to what we have to, you know, what we have to do. Yeah. But yes, that is an available option for what insurance won't cover, which is anything. So that's cool. But we're still in, not litigation with them, but we're still definitely in back and forth. So we'll see. Maybe it'll shake out. Who knows? But it's ugly because downstairs is ugly and it's, you know, spending a bunch of money. But the upside is like it'll all be put back together and cool. So
you got a lot of kids too. You lost like a large portion of your house and the portion where they used to go hang out, right?
Well, and some of the bedrooms are the boys' room bedrooms down there. Oh, yeah. Geez. So they're shacked upstairs. We got five kids split between two rooms. It's not ideal. Directly across the hall from mine and my wife's bedroom, which is like annoying to say the least.
But is the rest of life getting back to normal at least?
Oh yeah, man. Everything's getting there. It's getting there. But yeah.
You guys still looking for donations?
So we have a bunch of stuff. Shout out Flary, that is being organized to go to some children's homes and some places that provide food for people. They were already providing food for people in need before the storm. Then they lost everything that they had. And so not only now do the people that already needed help before need help, but now a whole new host of new people that need help are now in need. So there's a great opportunity there. But we're also super stocked because we got, you know, a tractor trailer load of stuff. So yeah, we're in a good spot. And then another cool thing that was able to happen, which I had a
little. Wait, hang on. You just kind of glossed over that real quick. Fucking well done, Flary, man. That was fucking awesome of you to do that.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, got the connections and, you know, Bob and I were just chatting. I was like, dude, you want a tractor trailer? And he's like, what? <I'm> like, we have warehouses full of this stuff. Like, if the truck can get there, can you get a place to get it in? And
that was so cool. That was like the least expected thing ever.
Yeah, it just kind of worked. Yeah, it was like a random call. I mean, God moment or whatever. But like, you know, Bobo was just him and I were just chatting and we were talking about the hurricane and all the stuff. And it was just like, dude, wait a minute. Like, why don't I send a bunch of stuff down there? Like, I think we can make this work. And what did it take? A couple of days to kind of organize it all out, a couple of calls. And so hopefully that mix of stuff continues to provide what people need. And it's just cool stuff. I love that stuff, man. It's just like those God moments where it just aligns.
It's serendipitous almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. And then I had a friend who had just purchased a new warehouse and doesn't really need the full capacity for like another year. So they had a loading dock, freaking guys there, forklifts, everything. So like even in our distribution of that stuff, those guys that work in the warehouse, like he's told them, hey, if they come to get stuff and it can't in the pallet, the physical pallet can't be loaded, then you guys just load it piece by piece into whatever they have to drive. So like even for us taking stuff, the flexibility is huge. So it's just all around been really cool to kind of be, I feel like just connecting dots, you know, like I was really just a middleman between, you know.
A lot of people who wanted to help, but just didn't know how.
Yeah, so that was cool. Another cool thing that I don't think we talked about is I know some friends down here, whatever, and we really wanted to figure out a way to provide that community, the church that's like giving, like taking care of people. We wanted to provide them a way to get supplies out to people who couldn't easily get there. And so a bunch of dudes put some money together, and we were able to get a dealer to heavily discount a side by side, like a 6-passenger side by side. And so we freaking had a dealer deliver a side by side to the community up there for them to use to just like take stuff. There's been so many cool things. Again, that like not like look what I was able to organize. I mean, I did very little except have like two conversations about that, and then other guys I know just like ran with it.
But that's how that kind of stuff works, which is cool. It's like somebody sees the generosity, and then it sparks their generosity. Like honestly, I was inspired by your story and your generosity to just be like, dude, how hard is it for me to make a couple of phone calls, and I know these people. And, you know, again, like now they see 26 pallets of goods and it's like, well, let's help these guys get the goods out. And, you know, I don't know. I love that stuff,
man. Well, yeah, it's just it's cool to see things all kind of just come together like that.
Yeah.
Like everybody wants to help.
It's really neat.
You don't get to hear those stories enough, I think.
Yeah. So there's some backside good. How about that?
Yeah, man.
We still need to see some pictures, dude. I want to see it. I want to see a warehouse with
26 pallets. I'll try to get. I have not thought about taking photos, so I need to do that. But yeah, it's there. That's for damn sure.
All right. You got any more for good, bad, and ugly, or you want me to give it a crack?
Oh, the other good is there's a buddy of mine who like dabbled in trading years ago, and may actually be listening to this stream right now. And we've been talking a little bit lately about trading stuff. So I've been like sending him a couple of videos and like we're chatting and we haven't really talked about trading in probably like 4 years maybe or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so when like obviously my ability, I guess, like to understand stuff and also to communicate it has changed a lot in 4 years. And so it's really cool. I don't notice that. But when I send him, you know, content, videos, explanations, or we're talking about it, he's like, dude, this sounds like this really makes sense. Like, I think you sound like somebody that knows what they're talking about. Like, I actually understand you now. Whereas I think before it was like kind of still a little disorganized, you know, and
you're still finding your way, like your teaching style, I think.
Yeah. Right? So that's been cool. I'm excited to see.
That's awesome.
How he progresses through that and digests it and all. So that's fun for me. That's really fun for me. So,
yeah. Well, mine will be quick. So I'll get this one out of the way then, but I just want to call out again. I think we talked about it last week. My good is just Fridays, the free Friday vibes on the shop side. It's just been awesome. The last few that I've been able to participate in, I know you weren't there today, cause you had something going on, but it just has a different feel. I don't know if it's more relaxed, because, you know, we have the Friday is the take it easy. No, don't have expectations. We're not trying to press things. And
right.
I kind of want to adapt. I want to get that feel throughout the rest of the week. And I'm curious how we try to get that environment.
Well, I've definitely felt the more laid back, free vibes for the last, you know, week and a half or so, I think, because of the...
Yeah, you too. It's not just me.
Yeah. But here's the other thing. You want to, like, tip the hand a little bit of what we were texting about earlier about the room?
Yeah.
Because we don't have a decision on it, but, like, no, you do it. Because we don't know exactly what we're going to do.
I don't know what we're doing.
But, like, we have a couple of ideas.
We're talking about... Yeah. We've got some ideas with more content being created, using some of the core group that's been around with us and letting them have a little bit more of a voice.
And then the opening the doors. So, yeah. So what we're talking about is we enjoy Fridays a lot, not just from the laid back vibes, but it's fun to have like a bigger crew of people. It just there's something cool about it. And I was just like, man, there's like 300 people in the Discord. Like, it would be fun to have that vibe more often. So we're talking about like maybe some holiday weeks coming up or maybe just like, I don't know, changing everybody's access for like a period of time just to get everybody over for a little while just to hang out here and there. I don't know. We'll figure it out, but it'll be fun. That's the little teaser. We don't know what we're going to do, but something.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to call out to you mentioned the other guy that might be listening. We might also have a couple lawyers listening in from the last episode we recorded last week.
Oh, Eric, nice.
Eric had he said some things that he wanted to get clearance on just to double check before it got published, and his lawyers sent me some text messages back.
Oh no.
I think they might actually be interested in joining Vonta just to see if they can find some of the after hours stuff that we record. So we might have to start doing like a Patreon or something.
Oh yeah. Come join us.
Globex on the Rocks returns.
Can we seriously return some Globex on the Rocks?
Globex on the Rocks. Like the, yes.
You want to host that?
Can that be our because we don't like surprise everybody, like I don't know, Flair, we used to trade together every day for a long time. And now we talk, but we are not actively in the trenches together as much as we once were. Dude, Globex on the Rocks returns and we get to trade a little late night Globex together.
Yeah, everybody like it's like a round robin. Everybody's got to be in like a scalp, pass. But we're shooting the shit and drinking whiskey at the same time. Like, yes, I like it. Yep.
And it'd be free form. Like people could ask questions, obviously screen shares and stuff like that. No one's in like 50 LUTs sweating it out. It's like casual, make a few hundred bucks, high five yourself.
Yeah.
I'm in. Yeah. Let's pick a date. Yeah. Let's pick a day. We start doing it once a month, see if we like it, and then maybe move it up frequency if we all still
live
enjoy it.
Live stream it on YouTube. Come on.
There. Exactly. Oh, there exactly.
Come on.
Blair, you got any good, bad, and ugly you want to leave us with before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bad's pretty obvious, but we'll hit it. Lost $50,000, and a lot of people I know lost a lot of money, so that's the ugly.
We tallied it up. We tallied it up. We think that Vonta, including you, accounts for about $250,000.
Yeah.
That's vaporized.
Devastating.
At least. I think that's conservative. $250,000?
Yeah, no, I mean, like... That's $250,000 of payouts that were guaranteed.
That's not what people were waiting on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's sad, man. I mean, that's ugly. I would say the bad, definitely fumbled a bag in the Gelber situation. Two ticks from winning 20 grand, probably, had some interesting conversations with their team that ultimately didn't develop. So it was funny, got rug pulled for 50 grand and basically got denied a seat at a prop firm in the same 24 hours. So that was kind of like the good, bad, or the bad, ugly, sorry.
If they'd offered it, would you have taken it?
So I think that was probably one of the deciding factors is they really wanted somebody to move to New York, and the best I could offer them was like hybrid, where I would do like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Was that their deciding factor? Maybe I find out someday. Maybe I don't. I don't know. But ultimately, I think I probably left some on the table in that contest. But 6 weeks to commit while I'm doing all the things that I've got cooking just wasn't a reality. So they got the best that I could offer. And I mean, dude, short of the last 2 days where I was just trying to win the contest, I made $55,000 in 6 weeks trading their, trading their system. And if that's whatever, if that wasn't it, it wasn't it. And, I could have traded potentially better. And, it's
Flair, what about your personal accounts during that time, though, too? Because you weren't just trading the Gelber competition. Weren't you doing really well in your accounts?
It was my best. That 6 weeks was the best 6 weeks of training I ever had.
That is awesome to hear, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a great experience. I learned a lot in FTT. I learned a lot in Gelber. It was kind of funny to watch those two things kind of die at the same time. Yeah. I mean, they did, right? Yeah. I mean, and you just kind of have to put it to bed. If I would have been willing to move to New York and just told them, I'll do it. Wife, kids, and a lot going on, man. So it just wasn't even a thing. Yeah.
Bro, I was in New York a couple weeks ago. It sucks.
It's not that great.
If anybody from New York is listening.
I wouldn't have moved to New York. I would have moved to like
Connecticut. Connecticut.
Yeah.
Connecticut's beautiful.
Yeah. Connecticut's beautiful. Hartford is wonderful. So I don't know. That was the bad, ugly. I would say the good, two things, like both actually kind of relatively in line with like some of the stuff that Bob was saying. So I used to, or I guess I still do, when I was in the culinary field, like full time, I would volunteer my time to a local school, and they had a program that was like almost like home ec, but like home ec like on steroids. And one of the things that we would do is I would come in, and you would, as like a local, you know, entrepreneur or local, like, you know, whatever executive kind of thing, head of your field, you would come in and kind of share some of that information, potentially find students in the school in that program that were like-minded or liked the space that you were in, and you would mentor them for some period of time. So we would do like weekly calls, stuff like that. It was always culinary based. When COVID hit, you know, I left the culinary field and went kind of full time into the trading space. And that teacher kind of hit me up. And I had some loose conversations over the last year with just some people like that were interested about the financial space, whatever. But this year, you know, they reached back out and they're like, hey, there's a kid that's like he's trading, like he's really into trading. We're talking like a 16-year-old kid. I got a 16-year-old son. Who's, you know, interested in the space, but like this kid was like very gung ho, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take a call with him. So that was 3 weeks ago. Shout out to Luca. Sorry Luca. If I just doxed you. Yeah, Luca.
That name sounds familiar. He's not in Sweden, is he?
No.
Okay.
Hey, if Luca wants a free Vanta, just get him on Discord.
Hook him up. Yeah, I'll get him. We should probably get him on the podcast because it's pretty interesting. But like, so anyways, I sat down with this kid, had like an initial call, and I mean, he's, you know, passing evals, but going through all the same rigmarole that like, you know, new traders do. He's jumping strategies. And so, you know, I just thought it was like a cool opportunity to like take someone who was really passionate. He was super far past where I was expecting him to be. Like, he doesn't know necessarily what his system is yet. He doesn't necessarily have like an ironclad process, but taking it as like just like a really like high level opportunity to like help them skip some of the shortfalls, right? Like just avoid that pit that you're going to fall into, and just give them some, you know, pointers that would just maybe save him some time or at least inspire him to be better. So that's been a couple week thing, and like he's just like doing really well. He trades gold. You know, which is interesting.
Gold's fun.
Yeah. He trades gold. And so I've been kind of tracking gold with him and doing, you know, watching some of his trades and kind of trying to predict and helping him define his process and, you know, talk about risk. And
you got
to
set him up with banks.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So anyways, it's just been really cool to see somebody so young, so passionate, like 4.0 student at like one of the better schools, in the state. And, you know, he's just really passionate about markets and just trying to help him, you know, again, not like not any shortcuts, but like, hey, dude, just focus your attention here. You're so far ahead of the curve with where you're at. Like, if you just like, just don't waste your time basically over here,
right?
Maybe pick up a few of these things that might help you and inspire you into your process, and not really trying to like make him trade like me or like say he's trading right or wrong, but really just like
help him come into his own.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, I mean, there's so much bullshit in this space, you know, and just again, if there's like an hour, a month of time I can save for him just by inspiring him or, you know, saying, hey, avoid that stuff. It's just been kind of cool. So anyways, that's been a cool like new relationship, and it would be honestly really fun to get him on here and hear him speak.
Let's do it. Let's do it. How many of the traders that we've talked to, the great ones, have all mentioned somebody that took the time to mentor them when they were first starting out? I think that's one of the common things that we see. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's always like, for me, it's been, there's been some people that spent some significant amount of time with me, but like, it's typically been like I was hopping around trying to get like whether I thought I was going to absorb their whole strategy or just sit over their shoulder, and I end up just taking a piece. But like, you know, I always call it the Frankenstein system. Yep. Like, yep. You know, it's like built from everything that you learn. It's like, well, hey, you know, if I can help you know where to look to build, yeah, build your Frankenstein version of how you want to trade. Like, if anything, just save the guy some time. And, you know, he's getting funded. He just got funded accounts, and, you know, it's just kind of cool. So anyways,
awesome, man.
Been working with him, and that's been really exciting. You know, again, like kind of like Baba was talking about with, you know, meeting somebody new in the space. So that was cool. And then, I put some pictures in our Discord chat, but I got the keys to a restaurant, man.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, again, working with potentially building this like food service business with a partner here locally, and got a lot of things kind of cooking as far as that goes. And we were looking at a space, and the vision that we have for this. And again, like Flairy comes from a restaurant that I helped build in Haiti. And it's called Flairy, which means flourish in Haitian Creole. And the idea is that we built a pizzeria there. And what I'm really hoping is that we can sort of bring that pizzeria back to the States and, you know, potentially even call it Flairy. You know, hopefully that works and all the stars align with the organization that technically owns that. We would just come out and steal it or whatever. But there's potentially going to be a Flairy coming. So I had a cool moment with the kids tonight where they were like, we were looking at the pictures of the restaurant and like, they were like, well, I don't get it. Like, what's this pizzeria? And so I was showing them pictures from when I was in country, literally like dragging my feet in the dirt in Titanier, like boxing out where the restaurant will be on the space of dirt to like showing them the video of like the folks that ended up working there, like making pizza. And they're like, well, where are you, Dad? And then I showed them my pictures with the same people that they just saw in the video. And just that moment of like my kids like going like, wait a minute, that's the background on your computer monitor. And like them seeing that, like, that's a picture of like I took in the restaurant. Like that's the mural on the wall. Right. It was just like a cool dad moment of like the kids being like, wow, I can't believe you did that. So, you know, hopefully this becomes a thing that we can actually see, you know, maybe future conversations about where we bring this Flairy concept to the States from Haiti. So it started as job creation in Haiti, and maybe it comes back as a cool business here in the States and something again.
I'm always looking for a new pizza place, man. So if you're
I love pizza, and the pizza's good. So anyways.
All right. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for tonight's episode. So please join me in thanking Baba Yaga and Flairy for jumping on this evening. And thank you everyone for listening to the bitter end. Remember, you can show our panelists some love. Click on those links in the show notes. Visit vantatrading.com to trade with us every day, except when there's active hurricanes. Band of Traders podcast, where you can browse our back catalog by guests. And when you're finished with all that, find your next sipping whiskey for next week's episode by subbing to our friends over at Rare Barrel on YouTube. Be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully with fewer rug pulls than last week. But until then, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week.
Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland, from its rich history to the hidden gems. There's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.